getting old.
Okay. Today's daf is Mem Aleph. We're going to start on Mem Amabed. Maybe we'll even just read the Mishnah. We'll start with Refuah Shlemo, Dvar Batina, Ozavram Shum, Men Chana, Kamit Batim, Orle Panina, Bar Rachel, Frida, Chaim Alka, Esther, Bat Zippor, Daniel, Ben Miriam, Chaim Ruth. Just for those listening online, or I just want to repeat that now we have the shears on iTunes or on an Android, you can get it. There's one Android podcast thing which is better. I have to remember what it's called. It's Android. You know, I'll say it tomorrow. There's one way that's better to listen if you're listening on an Android. I forgot it right now. One of the podcast programs doesn't work as well. And you can see the sheets on either on the details, or you can see them also in the website if you can't get it through the details of the podcast. Okay, starting with the Mishnah. Brachot Kohen Gadol Ketzad. So we had these brachot of the Kohen Gadol that were referenced in the first Mishnah in the Perek. So now we're going to see what are these brachot of the Kohen Gadol. It's brachot that the Kohen Gadol says on Yom Kippur. So we're starting a Mem Bevet at the Mishnah. Chazan HaKneset notel Sefer Torah v'notna la l'rosh HaKneset. V'rosh HaKneset notna la skan. U'skan notna la Kohen Gadol. V'Kohen Gadol omer u'mekabel. Okay, so basically they pass the Torah from the Chazan HaKneset, the guy in charge there in the Beit HaMikdash. He gives it to the Rosh HaKneset. Okay, these are different characters working there. Then the Rosh HaKneset gives it to the Skan, the Kohen Gadol. And then the Skan, that's the second, right, the one working under the Kohen just in case the Kohen dies. And the Skan gives it to the Kohen Gadol. And then the Kohen Gadol, Omed Umekabel, okay, he's standing and he accepts it. Bekorei, and then he reads from the Torah. What does he read? Acharemot, okay, that's the whole section. Talks about the Avodah the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippurim. Va'ach be'esur, right, that's the section from Vayikra that talks about the, right, and the first was also from Vayikra. Okay, this is going to be important. The first section's from Vayikra Tet Zayin. Okay, these I didn't put on the sheet. Because I wasn't necessarily planning to go back, but I realized that we should go back. Va'ach be'esur is in Parshat Emor. Right, that's Achreimot is obviously in Parshat Achreimot. Okay, a few Parshiot later, okay, it's six Prakim later, we get to, or seven Prakim, we get to Ach be'esur, which tells the details of Yom Kippurim, right, B'initem et nafshotechem, etc. And then he's Golel et HaTorah. He closes up the Torah, U'minicha b'cheiko, he holds it, Ve'omer, and then he says this line. If you remember, we learned this in Yoma. Yeter mimasha kiriti lifnechem katuv kan. More than what says here is in this Torah. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, what it means is you'll see in a minute. Ube'asur shebechumash pukudim, and the part that's in Bamidbar where it talks about the korbanot of the day, korei alpeh. He says that balpeh, meaning he doesn't read it from the Sefer Torah itself. And that's why he says the previous line. He doesn't want people to think that that section isn't in the Torah or something along those lines. So he says, it's all written here in the Torah, but now he reads the next section without reading it from the Torah. Obviously, the question is, right, why? Why doesn't he just read it from the Torah? We're going to get to this in the Gemara. Then he says, then he makes eight brachot. Ala Torah, ala Vodah, ala Hodaya, ala Mechilat Avon, ala Mikdash, v'al Yisrael, v'al Kohanim, v'al Yerushalayim. Vashar Tefillah. This is a very strange thing. What's this Vashar Tefillah? Okay, some people say it means there's a different nusach. If you look in the Mesoret Hashas, he says there Ve'al Shar Tefillah. In other words, and on the rest of the Tefillah, the assumption is that they're talking about Shema Kolenu. Like you're saying, like in Shema Kolenu we say Shomea Tefillah, but then we say a general bracha. Now, if you count, if that counts as an actual bracha, then we end up with nine. Al Torah, Levodah, Hodaya, Mechilat Avon. Right, just to go through, right? The Torah is like a Brachot HaTorah. Al Avodah is a Bracha Sheotcha Levadcha Biyiran Avod that we say on Yomim Noraim and on Shalosh Regalim when there's Brakat Kohanim and Musaf. That's in America, let's say, for example, where they only do Brakat Kohanim and Musaf, and even here where we do it all throughout, we say the Bracha at the end of Ritzeh, Sheotcha Levadcha Biyiran Avod. We end it differently. Not in the Amidah, in the Chazarat Hashat. And we say this, there's a section. So they say that's what that bracha is. Ala Hodaya is Modim. Mechilat Avon is the end of the bracha that we end in the middle bracha on Yom Kippur. Melech Mochel, Vesalech, Lavonotenu, Lavonot Amo Beisrael. It's a very, 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 very long one. Whether that was the exact nusach here or not isn't clear. We're going to see later, they're going to talk a little bit about the Nuskaot, but not too much. Ala Mikdash, there was a special bracha for the Mikdash, which isn't one that we generally say now. Al Yisrael, okay. Right. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, V'chotein baruch asher bachar b'mikdash. That was the bracha. Al Yisrael, he says, baruch ha-bocher ba'amo Yisrael. Okay. V'ala Kohanim. Okay, that must be Berkat Kohanim. And then Al Yerushalayim. Okay, so some people say Al Yerushalayim doesn't appear. That in other words, we have nine, so either Shar Tefillah isn't really a bracha, or Al Yerushalayim is not there. Okay, there's different nuschaot. Okay, the first thing the Gemara says is Shema Mi. Now we can learn from here the Cholkim Kavod LeTalmid B'mkom Harav. What do you see? How do we know that? Because that you can give Kavod to a Talmid even if the Rav is there, right? Someone lower. Why? Because what do? They pass the Sefer Torah first to the Rosh HaKnesset, then from the Rosh to the Skan. They're giving respect to all sorts of people in front of the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Gemara first wants to say. Amar Abaye, no, that's not true. You can't learn it from here. Kula mishum kvodo de Kohen Gadol hu. The whole reason they're passing it to all these people is not necessarily to respect those people, it's to respect the Kohen Gadol and show how he's on top of this one, on top of this one, you know, that there's a whole progression until you actually get to him. So there's two ways of reading it. Abaye obviously doesn't think that the first reading is accurate. Okay, Kohen Gadol omedu mekabel v'korei v'chule. So if it says he's omedu mekabel, what do we can infer from here? Michlal di yoshevhu. It seems he must have been sitting before. So now, how could that be? The only people who are allowed to sit in the Azara. Now, what's the Azara? Okay, remember, I bring the maps today, but we have our big, right, long rectangle of Beit of Har Bayit. You walk in the first shahr, there's the Azarat Nashim, right? It's called Azarat Nashim because women couldn't go past there. Okay, women were only allowed in that area. Obviously, other men were allowed there too. It's not like an Azarat Nashim nowadays. Then you went through Shar Nikanor. And when you got through Shar Nikanor, you went in. Okay, they say the space underneath Shar Nikanor was not considered the Azara. But once you pass Shar Nikanor, you're already in the Ezra Yisrael. And from there, there's a very narrow space of Ezra Yisrael. And into there, you go to Ezra Kohani. That whole area is called the Azara. And that area, apparently, it was forbidden to sit in that area. Now, presumably, that's where the Kohen Gadol is, right? So the only people who were allowed to sit in that area were the Malchei Beit David. Shneamar, how do we know? Because it says, "Vayavo Melech David vayeshev lifnei Hashem, vayomer mi anochi v'chulei." Okay, so because he said that, it seems he was sitting, but only he was allowed to sit, and nobody else. So the answer is, "K'da'am Rav Chista be'ezrat nashim." Like Rav Chista said, they did this in the Ezrat Nashim; they didn't do it in the Azara, and that's why he was allowed to sit. So now they're saying, just like Rav Chista said somewhere else it was Bezrat Nashim, Hachanami, why don't we apply what Rav Chista said there to our case and also say that here also it was Bezrat Nashim. Now the Gemara is going to tell us, well, where did Rav Chista say that it was Bezrat Nashim? Now, Rav Chista was obviously talking about something else. So here they bring up the context. They bring up this question, Meitivei, and they say, V'hechan korim bo, ba'azara. Okay, this is by, I believe, one second. This question. This question was asked by about the next section, I think, right? Right. Okay. This is relating to the next Mishnah we're going to see, which is Ma'amad Hakel. When they would read Hakel, okay, so they had the exact same thing going on, that there was this big kriya, okay, Hechan Korimbo, okay, there was this big tekes, and it's right there, in this Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol read the parts about, right, he was the one who was Koreh B'Torah. And here, they're talking about Hakel. Hakel also, they say, Hechan Korim Bo Ba'Azara. And Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, this is a Tosefta they're quoting, it's not our Mishnah, but they say they read it in the Azara. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, no, they read it Bahar Abayit. Shenemar, Vayikra Bo Lifnei HaRechov, Asher Lifnei Shar HaMayim. Okay, this is from Nehemiah, Sefer Nehemiah. So they say it's clear from there that they're talking about that it was in the Har Abayit. So I'm Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, how could he say the first opinion that it was Ba'azara? If you can't, again, you can't sit in the Azara, because there it also says that they sat. So the answer is, I'm Rav Chista Bezrat Nashim. So likewise here, he also said, by us it must be, then as the Gemara is saying, let's take his answer there. We're going to apply it here. It must have been done in the Azrat Nashim, which shows you that both Hakel And the Ma'amad of the Kohen Gadol were done, the Kriyat HaTorah that he did in the Ezrat Nashim and not in the Ezra itself. And we know that because they both sat. Okay, there the Kohen we're going to see sits, and here it was the Kohen Gadol. B'korei achremot va'ach besur. Uriminhi, we have a contradiction. Okay, Uriminhi always means that we're going to take two sources that are of the same level. Because remember we've talked about that in Emora, can't disagree with a Tana. Right? But now we're going to take two Tanaitic sources. Generally it's used with Tanaitic sources, but it could be any sources that are the same strength. And say, wait, this Tanaitic source contradicts this Tanaitic source. So what do we have here? So we said that he reads Acharemot Ach Be'asura, and then he closes the Torah, and then he reads the other section that comes from Bamidbar Baal Peh. Now remember, the first two sections are in Vayikra, so they were seven perkim apart. Okay, and the next one's in Bamidbar, at the end of Bamidbar. So now they say, there's a braita that says, Midalgim b'navi, I think it's a braita, ve'ein midalgim b'torah. You can skip sections when it comes to the Navi, but when you're reading from the Torah, you can't skip sections. Okay, where do we see this? We have Haftorahs lots of times. We'll read in one book, and then we'll end with another book, right? You ever notice that? That sometimes it switches to a different book, and they end up reading from a different section, or they switch. But when we read from the Torah, we always read straight, right? Except for when we have Maftir from somewhere else, okay? So now they say you can skip in the Navi, but you can't skip in the Torah. Amar Abaye, lo kashya, kan b'chdei sheyipsok haTorgeman. Remember what we talked about, the Torgaman, that they would say a pasuk, and the Torgaman would say it, the Targum. So if they have time from when, right, so this is why I pointed out, we're talking about seven prakim, okay? How fast can you roll a Sefer Torah seven prakim forward? It doesn't take very long. So if you have enough time that the Torgaman can basically roll the Torah to the next section, then that's fine. What's the whole issue here? This actually is a little bit different than the last section we saw before, and maybe it works together. If you remember, we had this whole thing on, I think it was Friday's daf, about rushing through davening. Make sure he finishes amen before you start the next section. Make sure, right? On the other hand, this is what you're talking about. Make sure you're not matriach the people too much. You're not bothering them. You're not making davening a burden. You're not starting to roll the Torah in shul. Everybody's standing there waiting. Like, make sure shul moves fast. So on the one hand, they actually work together because it's saying on the one hand, everything has its own time and don't rush through it. On the other hand, make sure there's no dead time in shul, right? You don't want people to get antsy and get frustrated and lose their focus. That's really what the issue is here. So if you have time while the Torgaman is saying the translation of the pasuk and you can roll it up to the next section, then fine. And that's why in our section you can. Okay? Okay, so now they say, wait a minute. That can't be the answer because Baha Allah Katane, on that Tanaitic source, it was said, Midalgim b'Navi, ve'ei Midalgim b'Torah. Okay, so far that's the same thing, right? You can't skip in the Torah. Ve'ad kama Midalgim, and when we say in the Navi you can skip, how much can you skip? Ad kedei shelo yifsok haTorgaman. When you can skip in the Navi, it's only in as much so as the Torgaman, right, can finish his pasuk, and you'll already be there. Michlal, from here you can infer the b'torah klalu klalo, right? That you can't do it in Torah at all. Only in Navi it's the issue that you could do it. Achi yifsok haTorgaman, until the Torgaman finishes. But even in the Navi, you can't do it if everyone's going to have to wait. Okay? And therefore, in the Torah, it sounds like you can't skip it all. So how could you say that that's the case? El Amar Abaye, lo kashya. Kam b'inyan echad, kam b'shnei inyanim. He says, forget that answer I gave about the Torgaman. The issue is, in the Torah, you can skip as long as it's in the same basic topic. Okay? In other words, yes, it has to be within a time frame, but in addition, it has to be the same topic. If you start switching topics, what's the issue? That's why would we even distinguish between Torah and Navi? Because Torah is harder to understand than Navi, right? We all know this. Navi is a little easier to learn. Torah is a little more complicated. And therefore, if you're going to start switching topics, it's going to be very complicated for people to follow. Like, we were just here in a minute, I'm still thinking about that, now you're starting with another topic. Whereas when it comes to Navi, it's easier to move into other things. It's not going to distract people as much. They kind of get it, and then they move on to the new topic. This, by the way, shows that when they're reading from the Torah, people are actually supposed to be learning it, right, and thinking about it, right? Some people just kind of, right, listen without really paying attention. So here it seems to indicate that there's an issue of concentrating on what the content is. So So now they say, that's his answer. Now they say, wait, V'hatanya medalgim b'torah b'inyan achad, u'b'navi b'shnei inyanim. V'kam v'kam b'chdei shalo yifsok ha-meturgeman. V'ein medalgim b'navin v'navi, u'b'navi shal shnei masar medalgim. U'b'vad shalo yidaleg misof ha-sefer l'tchilato. Okay, and now they bring a braita to prove that this, the Abaye's answer is accurate, because what does this braita say? You can skip from the Torah b'inyan achad, right? But b'navi, b'shnei inyanim, you're allowed to, just like we just explained. And both of them are only b'chdei shalo yifsok ha-torgeman, as long as you can do it within the time that the torgeman is still translating. By the way, it shows here that they also translated the Navi, right? The torgeman also read the psukim of the Navi in translation. But in addition, you can't skip from one sefer of Nevi'im to a different sefer of Nevi'im, except for Navi shel shnei masar medalgim. Treasar is considered one book, and therefore you can skip within books of Treasar one to the other. As long as you don't skip from the end of a book to the beginning. In other words, you have to go in order, is what they're saying. You can't skip in the reverse order. Now, what's interesting here is that halacha, we don't really paskin this way anymore when it comes to the Navi. And why is that? Because nowadays, how do we read the Navi'im? From a printed book that has it all in front of you. So therefore, you can skip from book to book, and you can skip, or you know, you could do anything, basically. All of this is no longer relevant because we mostly read it printed from a book, and therefore there's no issue of skipping around. Okay, whereas the Torah obviously would still be relevant. Okay, we're going to see about different Sifrei Torah. This is all within one Sifrei Torah when you have to roll it. Okay? It's always an issue, by the way, when we'll talk about it. They're going to get to Dafka Arsh. This coming Shabbat is going to be mentioned in today's Gemara, which is always nice. Because what happens this Shabbat? It's Shabbat, Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh. We take out three Sifrei Torah. Okay? So when you take out a separate Sefer, that's a different story. Okay? We're going to talk about this in a minute. So we'll wait off. Hold on. V'kokach lama. Okay, so now why are we... Oh, sorry, I skipped the first line. V'golel et ha-Torah minicha b'chiko. Then he closes up the Torah and he leaves it in his lap. V'kokach lama. Why does he say that line, that weird line, you know, that says, you know, and every, whatever else is I didn't say is in here. Shalo lahotzi laz al sefer Torah. We don't want people to think that he's not reading it from the Torah because... It's, you know, there's a problem, there's a mistake in the Torah is pasul, because if they read from a Torah pasul, it's no good. So we didn't want people to think that. So now when he gets to the section of Bamidbar, he reads it b'al peh. So they say, v'likrche l'sefer v'likre. Why don't they roll the sefer and read it? And this is very strange. What do you mean? We just explained that you're not allowed to roll the Torah, right, if you don't have enough time. So it's a very strange question that they're asking. But maybe this section was written a little, you know, and they just kind of put it together. I don't know. Anyway, the Rebbe Freshim asked about it. But Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshet, L'fisha Ein Golelim Sefer Torah B'tzibur. Okay, we don't roll a Sefer Torah in front of everybody. So then they say, V'leite Sefer Torah Achurina V'likre. So why don't they take out another Torah like we're going to do in Shul the Shabbos? Why not? Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Pigmo Shel Rishon. They're worried that it's going to look like there was a pgam in the first one. And therefore, he had to open a second one. Okay? Now, why don't we do that? Why, we're going to see, you know, why don't we have that issue, the Shabbos, right? Why do we take out more than one Sefer Torah? So they're saying, basically, right, imagine you're in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen's reading, he reads those two sections because he can roll quickly from one to the other, but the next one he can't roll quickly, so therefore they're going to close that Torah, open a new Torah, and why don't we just do that? Because we're concerned that people will think there's a problem with the first Sefer. So Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, he says, wait, but there's a different issue. The issue is that when they take out a new Torah, the Kohen Gadol is going to have to make another bracha on that Torah, when he takes out a new Torah. And because of that, we don't want him to make an unnecessary bracha, so therefore we don't have him take out the Torah. So now the Gemara is going to finally question based on what we do. Okay, do we really choshesh for b'gam? And here you see that this was an old minhag, okay, already from their times. Rosh Chodesh Tevet, Shechaliyot b'Shabbat, okay, exactly our week. Mevi shalosh charot v'kore, echad mi'inyeno shel yom, echad shel Rosh Chodesh, why does Rosh Chodesh come first? Tadir v'sheino, tadir kodem. We always go with the one that's the most common, that happens more often. V'echad b'shal Chanukah. So what's the issue? How could we do that? And yet you won't let this Kohen Gadol open another Torah, and instead he reads it Baal Peh. It's very strange. So what's the answer? Tal tegavre betlata sifre lekap gama. Ha gavra betre sifre ikap gama. What do you see here? If three different people read from each of those Torahs, then it doesn't look like a pgam. But in our case of the Kohen Gadol, he has to read everything. And if one person switches in the middle and reads from a different Torah, then it's a problem. So what do we learn from here? That if you got an aliyah, right, in one here, it's now, so the Koreim gets switched really with the aliyot. Because right that those days, they didn't have the ole would read from the Torah. It was different than now. But now the corresponding thing to us is the olim. So someone who's ole la Torah shouldn't get an, you know, shouldn't go up also one of the later aliyah when it's in a different sefer Torah. There's actually a machloket about among the mafreshim, if I remember correctly, among the poskim, whether let's say you got aliyah number 3, could you then go up for maftir in the other Torah? In other words, would that be okay, or is it just the last aliyah, you know, and then it's samuch, and then it really is very obvious. But if you got an earlier aliyah, maybe it would be okay. I think there's a machloket about the earlier aliyah. Okay. Yeah, some question? No.
I just wonder what a community would do if they only had one Torah.
So if you the people do have one Torah, so they roll. They have no choice. They roll. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They roll. It happens. Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the Shmoneh Brachot. Tana Rabbanan, Mevarchim ala Torah, Kederach Shemevarchim bebeit HaKnesset. Okay, they're saying the regular Brachot HaTorah. V'al Avodah, V'al Hoda'ah, V'al Mechilat Avon Kitiknan. Also, the Avodah that we know, the Hoda'ah that we know, the Mechilat Avon that we know. Ala Mikdash Bifnei Atzmo, that's a special Bracha. Ala Kohanim Bifnei Atzman, okay, it's a Bracha in and of its own. Al Yisrael Bifnei Atzman, also a separate Bracha. V'al Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzman. Okay, those are the Brachot according to you. Vashar tfila, okay, what about this? Tana Rabbanan, hashar tfila, tchina rina ubakasha shamcha Yisrael tzrichin lihivashea, v'chotem b'shomea tfila. Okay, now some people say that this is the actual text that you should say, tchina rina ubakasha shamcha Yisrael tzrichin lihivashea, and v'chotem b'shomea tfila, but the more seeming logical interpretation is that you add whatever, some sort of text, because remember, in the time, these times, time of the Mishnah and time of the beginning of the Gemara, the text of the tefillah was not set. What was often set was the end of the bracha. So what's clear here is you're supposed to be chotem in the word shomea tefillah, but what you say in the middle, you know, is some sort of text about a tchina, a bakasha, you know, some sort of request that the people should be saved. Mikam ve'elach, kol echa ve'echa mevi sefer Torah mitoch beito v'korebo. This is a very interesting line. After that, after the Kohen does this, everybody brings a sefer Torah from their house, right? Did everyone have a sefer Torah in their house? Seems very strange. But maybe it meant whoever had would bring it and he would read it. Or maybe they didn't exactly have a Torah, like a big scroll, but maybe they had some sort of, you know, something written on it. V'kol kach lama, kedei laharot chazuto l'rabim. This is all to make this a very public, you know, to show the glory of the Torah in public. Okay? It's interesting that we didn't really talk about this when we learned Yoma, about what happens in the Kohen Gadol, right? It's very bizarre that this is missing in Masechet Yoma, because this would, you'd see, it sounds like it's an important part of the whole day, show off the Torah and do this reading, and yet it doesn't appear anywhere in Yoma. I don't have a good answer for that. Okay, next thing. Parshat HaMelech, we're moving on. Parshat HaMelech Ketzav. Before we read this, I want you to look at the psukim inside. Okay, so take a sheet or share if there's not enough. I think we should have almost enough. If you look in the first section of the page, Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayitzav Moshe Otam Lemor, Miket Sheva Shanim, V'moed Shnat HaShmitah B'chag HaSukkot. Okay, the end of the seven-year cycle. Okay, we're going to darshan this pasuk soon. B'mo'ed shnat ha-shmitah, in the mo'ed of the shnat ha-shmitah. Okay, what exactly this means. But it means, because it's after 7 years, it's clearly not the shnat ha-shmitah anymore. It's like the motza'ei shnat ha-shmitah. An chag ha-sukot, okay, b'vo kol Yisrael le'ra'ot et p'nei Hashem Elokecha, when all of the people come to see God, b'makom asher yivchar, in the place that God has chosen, tikra et ha-torah hazot negid kol Yisrael b'enehem. The Torah, this Torah should be read before all the Jews into their ears. Hakel et ha'am, and here is where we get the word hakel that we call it. Okay, you'll see that they don't call it hakel. They actually call it Parshat HaMelech. Why is it called Parshat HaMelech? Because the king reads the Torah. How do you know the king reads the Torah? doesn't say it here. I wanted to point that out. Okay, note that the king doesn't appear here, that he's the one reading. It just says, Tikra Tatarazot, right? And then it says, Hakela Ta'ama Anashim Vanashim Va'atach, gather everybody together, the men, the women, the children, Gercha Shebi Sharecha, even the converts, Laman Yishmu, Laman Yomadu, Yeru Tashem Lokechem, Vashamru La'asot Kol Dvar Tarazot. Okay, and etc. So fine. So now, this is this big public reading of the Torah. And the Mishnah, it's already obvious to the Mishnah that the Melech reads it. Okay, the Mepharshim will try to say, how did we know the Melech reads it? And maybe Moshe told Yoshua, and Yoshua was Ki'ilu the Melech, and maybe because of that. Anyway, it's a good question. But this is another one of those examples of where, like, Meimatai Korin et Shema Ba'aravim is another good example. The Mishnah starts off with a base assumption that you read Shema Ba'arvit. Okay, and then obviously it becomes clear, also you read it Shacharit. Now, it's not so clear where that comes from. In the Torah, it says, it doesn't say you're supposed to read this text, right? It says, but it doesn't say literally in the Pasuk that you're supposed to read this every morning when you wake up, every night when you go to sleep. It means, really, it was a speech of Moshe's. Do you know that Shema, this is relevant to today because we're going to see, Shema and Vayan Shema are like open section, they're the beginning section of these big speeches that Moshe had. Moshe had a few speeches that he made at the end of his life, and one was the beginning of Devarim, where he basically gives a historical rendition of things that happened, plus adding some other things. Then he starts with Shema, and he has a whole thing about keeping the mitzvot, and then he says Vayan Shema many prakim later, and that's another introduction, or maybe it frames, it's unclear whether it provides a frame like to close off or to begin the next section, but that what it really meant is, always remember the words that Moshe told you. It doesn't mean read the paragraph of Shema in every morning and every night. But by the time the Mishnah was written, there was clearly a Masoret that we do this, that the Mishnah doesn't even need to start questioning it and asking about it. And yeah, they a little bit say, where do you get this from? The Shebe Shachov Kumecha. But really, it's taken as a given. So, and the Mishnah says it is a given. The Gemara is the one who tries to connect it back. So here also, it's just an obvious thing that the Melech does. And obviously, there were Masorot that continued from the time of the Torah that, you know, explain things that were different from what the Torah said. So, Parshat HaMelech Kitzad. Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. Okay, first of all, it didn't tell us this in the Torah either. When do you do it? It said b'moed shnat hashmitah b'chag ha'sukkot. Right? It didn't tell you what date exactly. Chag ha'sukkot is 7 days. So, and even the 8th day we're going to see, Shmini Atzeret, which is considered chag b'fnei atzmo, is even also somewhat considered part of chag ha'sukkot. So now they say we read it on the day after. Okay, it's unclear. Some people say you do it at night, that night, motzei mamash, at night. Some people say it means the next day. Okay, the day after Yom Tov HaRishon. B'shmini b'motzei shvi'it. Okay, so now there's this weird, what does it mean? Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag Bashmini. Okay, the Gemara is immediately going to say, what does that mean? Bashmini sounds like on the 8th day. It's not clear what that means. We're going to leave it for the Gemara. B'motzei Shvi'it, after the Shvi'it, right? It's Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon and Motzei Shnat HaShmita. Osin lo bima shel Eitz Ba'azara. We build a bima of Eitz Ba'azara. Okay, again, this is where we're going to eventually get to that the Azara doesn't mean the Ezra Yisrael or Ezra Kohanim. It means the Ezra Nashim. V'hu yoshev aleha. Okay, and the king is sitting up on this bima. Sheneemar, miket sheva shanim b'moed v'chulei. Chazan HaKnesset notel sefer Torah. Now we're going to see the exact same ceremony going on. The Chazan HaKnesset takes the Torah. V'notna l'rosh HaKnesset. V'rosh HaKnesset notna l'skan. V'skan, here's going to be the one difference, notna l'kohen gadol. Okay, keep in mind this stuff, by the way, because when we get to Sanhedrin and this whole stuff about the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, and these are all sugyot which show the hierarchy of things. Okay, that there's a Kohen Gadol who has very high importance. Here you see that the Kohen Gadol is the Melech is higher than the Kohen Gadol. Haskan notna l'Kohen Gadol, v'Kohen notna l'Melech, v'Melech omer u'mekabel. And he stands and accepts it, just like the Kohen stood and accepted it, remember? And then we're going to say, oh, he must have been sitting before that. Also, it said he was sitting. Hu yoshev aleha. It said earlier. U'mekabel v'kore. And then he reads. Kore yoshev. He reads while he's sitting. Okay, so he's standing when he accepts the Torah. Then he reads when he's sitting. Agrippas HaMelech. Now we're going to have a story that actually happened. Agrippas HaMelech amad v'kibel v'kara omed. Okay, he accepted the Torah standing, and then he read it while standing. V'shibchuhu chachamim, and chachamim praised him. We're going to see that's one of the psukim he reads, the Parshat HaMelech, about Som Tassim Alecha Melech. And within that section it says, you can't have an Ish Nechri be a king. Zalgu Einav Dma'ot. He started to cry. Why? Because his mother was a Shifcha. Okay, there's a bit of a discrepancy. There were two Agrippuses, and there's a bit of a debate about which Agrippus this was, the first or the second. Part of the problem is going to be this next line, okay? Because I'll read the next line and I'll tell you what the problem is. Amru lo, they said to him, Al tijere Agrippus, achinu ata, achinu ata. Okay? They said, you're our brother, you're our brother. Now, whether this means that they really meant you really are our brother and your mother really was Jewish, and then you'd have to say it was the second Agrippus whose mother was Jewish, or you'd have to say it was the first Agrippus who was the grandson of Herod, and Herod came from a family of Avadim Knanim. And his mother was also a Shifcha Knaanit. And then he was the son of, I think, Aristobulus. Is that, do you remember this? Is that his name?
Aristobulus.
Yeah, Aristobulus was his father. And he married, what?
Berenice.
Yeah, okay. And then, okay, so then, what are they saying? Achinu ata, if that's the case, right? You're really part of us. Now, either we're going to get to the end of today's sidur, we're going to see it's all about flattery, okay? In other words, they were just trying to flatter the king. Like, they didn't want to make him feel bad. Right, they were afraid of him, clearly. They were afraid of him. Remember, he was put in, not by them, right, by the Romans. And there was it was tricky there, the whole dynamic, okay? So therefore, they said to him, no, achinu ata, achinu ata. Now we have what he reads, and this is what I put on the sheet for you, okay? I didn't put everything, because in the first section I didn't put, it's too many prakim. Ela hadvarim ad shema, okay, that's prakim, aleph in sefer dvarim, I didn't bring this, all the way until perek vav, when shema appears, okay? The whole first speech of Moshe. Then, you put in shema, okay, that section. I didn't put this in also, because I know the psukim are familiar to you. Vayan shamoa is the next section, okay? You skip from perek vav to perek yud aleph. He reads perek yud aleph, vayan shamoa. Then he reads Aser to Aser, which is the next thing on your sheet. Dvarim Perek Yudalid, whole section about taking Trumot and Maasrot, okay, from Kaf Bet to Kaf Zayin. Then he reads Kitich Lela Aser, okay, this is Maaser for the Maaser Ani, okay, the one you give in the third and the sixth year, and then the beat the what's it called, Bitul Maasrot, right? Is that what it's called? Biur Maasrot, that you say, we just talked about this a few days ago, that you say at the end of the Shemitah year that I got rid of all the Maaser in my house, Biarti et Maaser min Abayit. Okay, that's very in Perek Kavav, Yubet et Evav. And then Parshat HaMelech, which is Som Tassim Alech HaMelech, okay, relevant that they're having the king read this, because it's all about the things the king should be careful not to do. Ubrachot, and that was obviously where Agrippus all of a sudden said, oh my God, what am I doing here? Ubrachot Uklalot, okay, that's the brachot and kolot that we've been talking about, right? Ad shegomer kol ha-parsha. So what is that? So that, in Dvarim, Perek Avzayin, it's saying about when you go across the Yarden, that whole section we just read, and all the aror, aror, aror. And then Perek Avchet is, if you keep the mitzvah, right, the brachot and the kolot. If you do the word of God, the good will happen. If you don't, the bad will happen, okay? That's the whole thing that I put in really teeny fun, just so that you could see overall what we read. Those are the sections he reads. Ad shegomer kol ha-parsha, that means till the end of Perek Kafchet. Brachot shekohen gadol mevarechotan, ha-melech mevarechotan. Okay, so now all the brachot that we saw in the last Mishnah, the kohen, the melech also says them, except for why? Ela shenotein shel regalim tacha mechilat avon. Right, obviously instead of saying the mechilat avon, he says the one about the regalim, because we're on a regal. Okay, so now the first thing the Gemara asks is about the shmini. Bishmini salkadatach ema bashminit. So, Rashmini Sakadatach, what do you mean on the 8th? You just said we do it on the Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon, not on the 8th day. So what do they say? Ema Bashminit. You should say on the 8th year. It's not the 8th day, it's the 8th year. The Kol Hani Lamali, and why do you need to say all this? Sricha. Di'i Katav Rachmana Miketz. If it had just said Miketz Sheva Shanim, right? Hava Amina Nimnu Mehashta. You would have thought that you're supposed to. Now we're darshaning the pasuk. Why does it say Miketz Sheva Shanim B'Moed Shnat Hashmita B'Chag Sukkot B'Vo Kol Yisrael Le'Raot Et Pnei Hashem? Right, it's a lot of descriptions to just say. Right, you say it at the end of the Shmita. Right, the year after the Shmita, Motzei Shnat Hashmita on Chag Sukkot. So why do you have all these words? So if you had just said Miketz Sheva Shanim, what might you have thought? doesn't have to do a Shemitah. It has to do from right now. Start counting 7 years. At the end of these 7 years, read the Torah, and that would be what you would do. And then it would be a one-time thing. And even if it doesn't come out on the Shemitah year. So therefore, Katar Brahmana Shemitah. Therefore, I had to say Shemitah, so you should know it's supposed to be 7 years after Shemitah. Remember also, they weren't even in the Shemitah cycle. They didn't start Shemitah until 14 years after they got into the land. So that's why it needs to give it a context. The eat Katar Brahmana Shemitah, Hava Amina B'Sof Shemitah. You would have thought at the end of the Shemitah year. So Katar Brahmana B'Moed. So therefore it says B'Moed because there is no Moed at the end of the Shemitah year. So then you know B'Moed, it has to be Motzei Shnat HaShemitah, not actually in the Shemitah year. V'i Katar B'Moed. What if it just said B'Moed and it didn't say B'Chag HaSukkot? What would you have thought? Hava Amina Mireshata, from the beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah, because that's the first Moed. Therefore Katar Brahmana B'Chag HaSukkot. V'i Katar Brahmana B'Chag HaSukkot. If it just said B'Chag HaSukkot and you didn't say the words Bivo Kol Yisrael, right? What would you have thought? Hava Amina Afilu Yom Tov Achron. You can even do it on Shmini Atzeret. Here's where I showed you. Even Shmini Atzeret can be considered Chag HaSukkot. Therefore, Katar Brahmana Bivo Kol Yisrael. What do you learn from there? Meitzchalta de Moed, from the beginning of the Moed. Okay, meaning that you can't do it on Chag HaSukkot. Why? First of all, there was on the Chag itself, because first of all, there was this issue. They had to build this Bima of Eitz. Now, if they built the Bima of Eitz before Yantif, there would be no room for people to get in. It would block the way. So therefore, they didn't build it before Chag. After the first day was over, then they built it, when it was Chol HaMoed, and they'd be allowed to build it, they built it, and then they put it in there. Okay, and presumably, some of the mass of people was already, you know, dissipated a little bit. Also, they could build it and take it apart right away, so it wasn't such a big deal. So they would build it right on the spot, and therefore, they would wait till after the Moed was over. They would build it, and then they would read it, which is why also it's hard to imagine they really did this at night. Also, in general, people traveled not so much at night. You know, it would be hard to imagine. Those that say they did it at night, I find it somewhat complicated how they pull this whole thing off right after Chag and start building. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's you could build it pretty quickly, but I don't know.
So would the moon still be out then?
Yeah, it would still be a pretty big moon because it's Tevah, you know, it would be Tet Zayin. Still be, right, the middle of the month. That's a good point, but still, it's, you know, to have everybody come out and the kids at night seems strange. Okay, I don't know what time bedtime was in those days, but but I could tell you from the beginning sugya of Brachot, it's all about when people ate. People clearly ate as soon as it got dark out. In other words, people were in the fields during the day or out at work. They would come home, they would eat, and then that was the end of their day, basically, because it was dark. Everybody went to sleep after that. So we kind of do know when their bedtimes were. Okay. Chazana Knesset Notel Sefer Torah Notno L'Rosh HaKnesset. We're going to say the same thing here that we said on the page before. Shema Mina Chokim Kavod L'Talmid B'Mkom HaRav. Right here you see that the Talmid gets respect in a, right, even if the Rav is there. Amar Abaye, no, you can't learn that from there because what did he say before? Kulam Shum Kvodo D'Melech. This is all just showing how great the king is that you pass it to him, you pass it to him, pass it to him until eventually you get to the king. V'amelech yoshev v'mekabel v'kore yoshev. Okay, and then he reads yoshev. Agrippa samelech amad v'kibel v'kara omed. Okay, so he read while standing. Okay, so the first thing they say is omed nechlal di yoshev. Again, the exact same sugya we saw before. He's standing. From here, you can infer that he was sitting to begin with. V'hamar marin. Didn't we learn? Ein yeshiva batara ela lemachibit aviv bilvat. Shneamar v'yavo Moshe, v'yavo hamelech davi v'yeshev lefnei Hashem v'yomer v'chule. So what do they answer? Kedam Rav Chista, like Rav Chista said, Bezrat Nashim, Hachanami Bezrat Nashim. Here we learn it happened in the Ezrat Nashim, not in the Ezra. V'shabchu Chachamim. So now, what did they praise him about? Michlal Dishapir Avad. As they praised him, from here it sounds like, V'shabchu Chachamim, it means he did something good. What did he do good? That he stood while he read from the Torah. Okay? So Hamar Rav Ashi, how could this be that this was a good thing? We've learned this before, recently even. Afilu lamanda amar nasi shamachal kvodo kvodo machul, melech shamachal kvodo ein kvodo machul. Shneamar som tasim alecha melech shetehe emato alecha. Here we see, we learned this before, that even if a nasi can be mochal in his kavod, right? A nasi is a high level, but the melech is in a different madriga, that he's not allowed to be mochal kvodo. Why? Because it says, Som tasim alecha melech, and they darshan from here, that he's supposed to have, you're supposed to be totally fearful of him, which means that he can never be mochel in his kavod, because if he is, people are not going to fear him as much. And it's very important that the king instill fear in the people. So how could it possibly be that he stood instead of sitting? Standing was a way of being mochel on his kavod, as we already said, he's allowed to read sitting. So what are the answer? Mitzvah shane. When there's a mitzvah, okay, here it's a mitzvah for him to read from the Torah. In other words, as long as, right, the king is always the last point, right? He's the highest level of everything. So when it comes to the king, he can't be mochel on his kavod, but only when it comes in, you know, in conflict with God. It's God, this is reading the Torah of God for a mitzvah for Hashem, that surpasses everything. So there, the Nasi is allowed to be mochel on his kavod when it comes to a mitzvah. Ukishihigia lelo tuchal latet. Okay, when he got to that part, right, what happened? So that was the whole thing. He said, oh my God, he starts crying, and the people said, don't worry, achinu ata, achinu ata. Tana mishmeju Rabbi Natan. And they brought a bright in the name of Rabbi Natan. Bo'ta sha'a nitchaivu son'ei Yisrael klaya. At that moment, son'ei Yisrael, we've always used this term, it's called Lashon Sagi Nahor. It's really like, it means itself, it means the opposite of what it is, which is it really means Yisrael. Okay, but it doesn't want to say Nitchaivu Yisrael Kliya, because that sounds like a, you know, it's like an ayin hara, like a bad thing to say. So they say Sonei Yisrael, but they really mean the Jews were convicted of death at this point. Why? Shechnifu lo la'agrippas. Because they said to him, Achinu ata, Achinu ata. In other words, that's called flattery, right? And flattery is a bad thing. This is just the way of the Gemara now to teach you a lesson about what's right and what's wrong, and what behavior is appropriate and not appropriate. And they want to use this as an example that you shouldn't flatter people. And we're going to see right away a bunch of examples. Amar Bishum and Kalafta, Miyom Shagavar Agrofa Shal Chanufa. Once, like the agrof, the fist of Chanufa, flattery, started to become very prominent. Okay, clearly this is a problem in their days. Nit of Tuha Dayanim, Vinit Kalkua Maasim. What happens? Once you start flattering people and saying, oh, it's so great what you did, and it's so great what you did, people no longer have a sense of judgment and a sense of what's right and wrong and a sense of who people are and what's really true. And it just perverts the truth. And that's what they're saying here, that flattery perverts the truth, and obviously that affects judgment and affects all sorts of things. And people can no longer say, oh, well, you know, I did better things than you, because nobody even knows. It's like fake compliments, right? You fake compliment someone, then nobody knows. Do you really mean it? Do you not mean it? Nobody can tell what the truth is anymore. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Mara, rather, till the end of the daf, it's all just statements about flattery. Itamar Rabbi Shimon Bar Pazi, mutar lahachlif nirisha'im ba'olam hazeh. Ah, he says, by the way, you can be machlif rishaim in olam hazeh, shenemar. This is a pasuk that's talking about Ba'olam Haba, okay? And because it says it about Olam Haba, not about Olam Hazeh, from Michlal Lavat HaShomehein. From the fact that it says you can't, this won't happen in Olam Haba, shows that it can happen in Olam Hazeh. What does it say there? Lo yikare od l'naval nadiv. Okay, the naval, the terrible person, will not anymore be called a nadiv, a benevolent person. Ulechili lo yomar shavua. And someone who's supposed to be destroyed will not be called, he'll be saved. From here you can infer that in Olam Hazeh you can do it, because only in Olam Haba all those bad guys aren't going to be called good guys anymore. Okay? You could obviously explain this in different ways, but that's what they, yeah, this is that's the way they work. They want to prove a point, so they take all these psukim and they use them to illustrate their point. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar mehacha, kirot pnei Elohim b'tirtzeni. From here you learn that you could do it. What's this? Yaakov and Esav, right? Yaakov says to Esav, right? Kirot pnei Elohim b'tirtzeni. In other words, that he's saying here, right, what's the, he's saying that, wait, why is this coming from? One second. He says to Esav.
His face is like an angel's face.
What?
His face is like an angel's face.
Ah, right. He's saying, you're like the malach. So he's saying, right, what he's saying here is, I see your face just like the malach that I saw, okay? And you look just like the malach's face. So here you see, Yaakov is flattering Esav. Okay, but we're going to see in a minute, lav davka. Upliga to Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, no, no, no. Tamar Rabbi Levi, mashal shel Yaakov Esav, lema davar domeh. What was he trying to do? La adam shezimen et chavero vihikir bo, shemevakesh lehorgo. Someone invites his friend, and then he realizes that his friend's going to kill him, right? That's Yaakov, realizes Esav wants to kill him. Amarlo, tam tavshil zesh shani to'em, ki tavshil sheta'amti bebeit ha'melech. So what does he say to him? Eat this food that I'm giving you. It's like the food that I ate when I was in the king's house. Amar, so the other guy says, Yadale Malka? Oh, the king knows him? Mr. Favolo Katyale. So then he gets scared and he doesn't want to kill him. So he's trying to say to Esav, I saw the Malach Elohim. In other words, he wasn't focusing on your face looks like the Malach, like an angel's face. No, he was saying, it's like the angel that I know, that I saw, because I saw an angel, and he figures if he knows I saw an angel, he's not going to try to kill me. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Chanufa Mevi Af La'olam. Anyone who does Chanufa brings, flattery brings anger to the world. Shne'emar B'chanfei Lev Yasimu Af. Okay, they'll bring anger. V'lod Ela She'ein Tfilato Nishmat Shne'emar Lo Yishav'u Ki Asaram. The continuation of that pasuk, this is from Iov, says they will not be saved because they will get, there's a few different ways to understand this. Either they are bound or they will have Yisurim, and as God will cause them to be punished. Okay, so basically the Chanufei Lev will not get saved. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Pick up tomorrow, finish up the stuff about the Chanufa, and then we'll end the Perek, start with the new Perek, which actually continues the same list that we're, this new Perek is going to start with the Meshuach Melchama, which was another person on the list in our first mission in the Perek.